Start reading in verse 16. We'll read through verse 20. Obviously, those of you who were with us during Sunday school will recognize the passage. We're going to be looking at some scripture throughout the remainder of this chapter, so I want you to keep your Bibles handy and follow along. But for the sake of time, we're going to read verses 16 through 20. Verse 16, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him." Let's bow for prayer. Father, we're thankful again for another day to be alive, thankful for another opportunity to be in church. And I thank you for each person that has come to be here today. And Lord, I ask that you give each one a special blessing for being here. Pray you would speak to each heart. And Lord, I pray you would help us to receive what you say. And most of all, I pray that we be doers of your word. And Lord, I ask that you please give me liberty to preach. Give me clarity of thought and speech that I might say exactly what you want said here this morning. And Lord, I pray that there be no distractions, no hindrances, that our minds would be clear and focused on the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for eternal life and your presence in our lives and the promise that you'll never leave us or forsake us. And we pray all this now in your name and for your glory and honor. Amen. The title for the message this morning is Come After Me. Come After Me. And I want to get started by saying in the verses we just read, which are verses we studied during Sunday school, we have Mark's account of when the Lord Jesus called four men. When he called Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, James, and his brother John, to be his followers. If you look again there at verse 16, you'll notice it says, "Now as he walked by the sea," and the "he" there is the Lord, "as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon," that's Simon Peter, "and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me." Then if you look on down at verse number 19, you'll notice it says, "And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets, and straightway he called them." So we have the story, Mark's account of the call of these four men. And one thing, I noticed, and something I pointed out in Sunday school, is that all four, without hesitation, dropped what they were doing and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 18, you'll notice it says, "And straightway," that means immediately or at once, "and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." Verse 20, "And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him." So all four, without hesitation, responded in the positive to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ to be his followers. And the reason why I point that out is because it is my opinion, and I believe the scripture bears out, that what we're talking about is, for the most part, what the Christian life is all about. And when I say Christian life, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking here about salvation. I don't believe that you get saved by following Jesus Christ. You get saved by receiving Jesus Christ as the full and final payment for your sins. But once you get saved, that's why we're talking about the Christian life. We're talking about life after salvation. And once you embark on that journey, once you get saved and begin to live your new life as a Christian, what it should be about, for the most part, is following faithfully your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus tells us in the Scripture that no saved person can be His disciple if they're not willing to deny themselves, take up their cross, and what? Follow Him. You can be saved without following Jesus, but you cannot be a disciple without following the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to practice that discipline of following Christ in order to be a disciple of the Lord. So really, the Christian life boils down to this. And I know you can try to pack in a whole lot of other things, and there is a whole lot that you find in the Bible, but when you boil it all down, that's what the Christian life is about. It's about you and I, as saved people, following our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about us, each one, as an individual, listen to me now, letting Him be in absolute control of our lives. It's about us letting Him call the shots, us letting Him be in charge. It's about us submitting to His headship and allowing Him to lead us wherever He so chooses during the remainder of our life down here on this earth. Take a look once again here at verse number 17 and notice what the Scripture says. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me. Come ye after me. Why did I say it's about us allowing Him to be in charge? He doesn't say to them, come ye before me, does He? He doesn't say, you come along and I'll let y'all be in charge, and I'll follow along like a little puppy. That's not what He says. He says to these men, you come after me, is what He says. And look at verse number 20, and notice in the end of that verse it says that they went where? After Him. That means that they allowed Him to be in charge. They allowed Him, and I don't mean any disrespect by what I'm about to say, but they allowed Him to be the lead dog, if you will. He was the one in charge, and they came after Him. They didn't try to supersede Him and get out in front and dictate where they were supposed to go in their lives. They went after Him. They let Jesus Christ be the leader and the controller of their lives. That, I believe, if you just boil it all down, that's what the Christian life was about right there. It's me getting saved first. Me receiving Jesus as my personal Savior, and then once I get saved and embark on the journey that is the Christian life, I allow Him to be in full control of my life. He has absolute control. He is in front, and I come after Him. Wherever He leads me, that is where I go. I submit to His headship without question whatsoever. I don't question His direction for my life. I follow His direction for my life. That's what the Christian life is about. That, I believe, is the testimony of the Bible. And if you get to thinking about it, we sing an awful lot of hymns and songs that bear this truth out as well. I think about a few. I jotted these down here in my notes. One song we sing says, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Y'all familiar with that song? We sing that song right here in the church from time to time. I thought about another one we sing, Footsteps of Jesus. In that song it says, we will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. That's what we sing with our lips, right? I wonder how often when we sing those words with our lips, we are being truthful about our lives. I fear sometimes that we do an awful lot of lying when we sing our hymns in church. I'm afraid of that. We sing these songs, these great hymns, these songs that mean so much to us and have meant so much to people down through the years. And we say these words, and I think sometimes we don't even pay attention to what we're singing. And oftentimes we're not really truthful when we sing those words. Like what I just quoted to you, we will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Where'er they go. Are you willing this morning to follow him wherever he leads you? I mean, wherever he leads you, are you willing to do that? That's what the Christian life is about. I think about another song we sing often. This is one of the great invitation hymns that I have heard many times and sung. I have decided to follow Jesus. Y'all know that one? I have decided to follow Jesus. It says, and obviously I'm not quoting the whole song, but it says, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. That's what we sing with our lips. Is that how it is in our lives? I think about how a lot of people get saved and they start out on the journey and they follow the Lord, and then the next thing you know, they can't be found. You know what's happened? They've turned back on the Lord. He's no longer in charge of their life. He's no longer the head of their life. He's not the one leading them. They, for whatever reason, I don't know if they didn't like what he was doing with their life, the direction he was taking them, but for whatever reason, they have now turned back and they are no longer following him. That song also says this. It says, though none go with me, still I will follow. Are you willing to follow the Lord's direction and leadership of your life, irregardless of what anybody else does? That's how it must be. Now, that's wonderful when we look around and we see other Christians that are following along, but the fact of the matter is, it's a personal decision that I have to make, and I have to decide, number one, that I'm going to follow him, and then I have to decide that I'm going to follow him without turning back, and I have to decide that I'm going to follow him whether anybody else in the whole entire world follows him. That's the kind of commitment and dedication that the Lord is looking for in his children. People that will follow him no matter what others do. It's a very important decision. I wonder, before we go any farther in the message, have you made that decision? When you sing that song during invitation, I have decided to follow Jesus, have you? Have you really? Have you made that decision? Again, I'm not asking you if you're saved. You probably are. If you've received Christ, you are. What I'm asking you is, now that you're saved, life after salvation, have you decided with all of your heart, with every fiber of your being, that Jesus Christ is going to have control of your life? Have you decided that? If not, I can't think of any better time, amen, than right now, to make that decision. And what I want to do here this morning, in the next few minutes, is I want to show you from Mark chapter 1. And as I've mentioned before, there's plenty of other scripture that we could turn to, but we just simply don't have the time. So we're going to stay right here in Mark chapter 1. And I'm going to show you from this chapter some, not all by any means, because again, we don't have time, but I'm going to show you some of the places that you will go if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to show it to you right here in the Bible. And notice I said, you will go. I'm not talking about places you might go. I'm not talking about possibilities right here. I'm talking about guarantees. If you sell out lock, stock, and barrel like he wants you to, and you say, I will follow you, if that's your commitment, and you choose to do that throughout the remainder of your life on this earth, I'm telling you, these are places you will go. These are places the Lord Jesus Christ will lead you without question if you choose to follow his lead. Now let's look at some of these together. First of all, I want to say this, and you might be surprised. I'm not going to mention in this list a jungle in Africa. That's what people are so scared of. I've noticed through the years why some are so hesitant to surrender their will to his will and say, Lord, I will decide to follow you right now, is because they're scared to death that when they make that decision, the Lord's going to say, okay, I want you to sell your house and your car, your boat and all your property, and I want you to go to a jungle in Africa and spend the rest of your life over there serving me. And because they're afraid of that, and so attached to where they are, they're real hesitant about making that commitment. Now, I can't tell you that he wouldn't send you to a jungle in Africa. He sent other people to a jungle in Africa. But let me ask you this real quick. If he did, would you go? Would you go? Would you sell everything you got and go? Well, if you wouldn't go, I would caution you about bragging about how you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because following Jesus doesn't mean that I get to pick and choose where he takes me. Following Jesus means that I submit to his headship and I allow him to take me wherever he sees fit for me to go. So if he decides, yes, I want you to go to a jungle in Africa, I got to be willing to go. No questions asked. But I'm not even going to mention that in the message today. We're not even going to talk about being sent off to a jungle in Africa or anything like that. So you can just exhale and enjoy the rest of the message. You ain't got to worry about it. Brother Keith's not going to give an altar call at the end and call of you down here to be missionaries to China or anything like that. But I am going to show you some places that he will take you if you decide to follow him. Every single one of us. Number one, here's where he'll take you. If you decide to follow Jesus, I guarantee you will go soul winning. You will go soul winning. Now, why do I say that? Well, I say that for a couple of reasons. Number one, I say that because of what he did. Now, you can read in the scripture, it's very clear to see that the Lord Jesus Christ was a soul winner. When he was down here on this earth, he devoted himself. He devoted himself to trying to win souls. That's something that Jesus did. In fact, this is what he said about himself. He said, the Son of Man came to seek, y'all listening to me? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what Jesus said about his coming to this earth. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his mission, and that's what he devoted himself to while he was here. The Lord Jesus Christ witnessed to individuals. I think about in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, John 3:16, that verse, it means so much to so many people. In the beginning of that chapter, you have the story of where Jesus Christ witnesses to an individual by the name of Nicodemus. I think about another story in the Bible, John chapter 4, where he witnesses to a woman at Jacob's well. Y'all familiar with that? Individuals that he witnessed to. Also, we find in the Bible that the Lord preached to the masses of people that would congregate in the different places where he was at. You know what he's doing? He's witnessing to people. When he had an opportunity, he used that opportunity to try to get people saved. That's what he did. Look right here in this chapter, for example. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, look at it, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Isn't that what it says? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Look on down at verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught, the Bible says. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Look down at verse number 38. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns. Why? That I may preach there also. Look at it. For therefore came I forth. He says, that's why I'm here, to go from one town to the next, preaching the gospel to people. Look over at chapter 2 for just a moment. We looked at this a few Sundays ago, but look at it. Verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. Look at it. What'd he do? And he preached the word unto them. Y'all following what I'm saying? The Lord Jesus Christ was a soul winner. He devoted himself. He was devoted to seeking and saving that which was lost. He witnessed individuals. He preached to the masses. He taught in the synagogues, wherever he could get an audience. Wherever there was an opportunity, he availed himself of that opportunity so he could seek and save that which was lost. But I want to show you something else. Look at verse number 17 now. When Jesus calls Simon and Andrew, this is what he says to them. He says, come ye after me. And we talked about that. That's following him. You're coming along behind him. And this is what he says. If you come after me, this is what's going to happen. He says, I will. Y'all notice that? He didn't say I might or I'm going to try. He said, I will make you to become fishers of men. Now, they were familiar with fishing because that's what they did. That's what they were doing when he called them. They knew all about fishing for fish, but what Jesus says is, hey, fellas, I want you to come after me. I want you to follow me. I want you to let me lead your life. I want you to let me be in control, me call the shots, me in charge, me take you where I want to go. And if you do that, this is what I'm going to do. Not what I might do or I maybe do, but this is what I'm going to do. I will make you to become fishers of men. You understand now why I say that if you follow him, you will go soul winning? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did in his own life. So if you're going to follow his lead, his example, you're going to go soul winning. That's what Jesus Christ said to these men. You come after me, I will make you to become fishers of men. This is what I believe. I believe that if you follow him, I'm talking about genuinely, sincerely follow him, not just standing in a church singing some words that are written on a page and not meaning it with your heart. I'm not talking about you drawing nigh with your lips and being far away in your heart. I'm talking about really, genuinely, sincerely sell out and follow him. I guarantee you, if you let him lead you, you will go soul winning. There's no way around it. There is no such creature on this planet right now, and I hope you listen to what I'm fixing to say. There is no such creature on this planet as a Christian following Jesus that never witnesses to anybody. That's not a follower of Jesus Christ. You may be saved. You may be on your way to heaven. But you are not following his lead if you never witness to anybody. Because if you follow him, you will go soul winning. Number two, I got to move on for the sake of time. Not only will you go soul winning, but I want to say this secondly. If you follow Jesus Christ, you will go to the synagogue. You will go to the synagogue. Say, what are you talking about? Well, look at it. Let's just look at it in the Bible. That's what matters, amen? What the Bible says, that's what matters. Verse number 21. The Bible says, and they went, you see that? They went. That means these fellas he just called, they're following him now. They're coming after him. They dropped it all. They're coming after the Lord Jesus Christ. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway, that is immediately on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. Where did he go when he went to Capernaum when it got the Sabbath day? He went into the synagogue. Now, the synagogue for these people was church. That was a meeting place. It was a spiritual meeting place, or that's what it was supposed to be, a spiritual meeting place where people would gather on the Sabbath day and on other special occasions, and they would listen to the Word of God. There would usually be a scribe or a Pharisee or some doctor of the law that would stand up and would take a portion of the scripture and they'd read the scripture. Jesus Christ walked in there and he did a little more than just read the scripture. He didn't just read it. The Bible says he taught them as one having authority. That's what he did. He took the word of God and he taught them boldly and with confidence, straight out of the Bible, thus saith the Lord. But he went into the synagogue. He went into that spiritual meeting place. And I want to show you something here. Hold your place and look over at Luke's gospel. Let me show you this. Luke chapter 4. Y'all please turn in your Bibles. Don't go to sleep on me yet. Y'all follow along. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, we're going to pick up in verse 14. Luke 4, 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Now look at verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. This is where he'd been raised. And he comes to Nazareth, it says, and, look at this now, as his custom was, where'd he go? He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. It says, as his custom was. You know what that means? That means that's where he went on a regular basis. That's what that means. That was just his custom. When it got time to go to the synagogue, you didn't have to wonder if Jesus was going to be there. Amen? I mean, when it was the Sabbath day and it was time to go to the synagogue, the Lord Jesus Christ was there. He was a church-going man. That's the way it was. And I'm not stretching the Bible. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty about not coming to church or anything. I'm just giving you what the Bible says, amen? I'm just showing it to you right here in the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ was a church-going man. When it was time to go to the synagogue, that's where he was. You didn't have to wonder about it. You just knew, hey, that's where he's going to be. It's the Sabbath day. Where's Jesus at? You'll find him down at the synagogue. That's where he's at. That's the way he was. So what I'm telling you is that if you choose to follow him, if you say, Lord, I will follow you. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, though none go with me, still I will follow. You know where you're going to find yourself on a regular basis? In the synagogue. Boy, it got quiet. It's the truth. It's the truth. And I'm not talking. Let me clarify here real quick. I'm not talking about people that are physically unable to go. Okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about people who just simply cannot be here. I'm talking about folk that are able to be here. If those people are truly following Jesus Christ, he's going to lead them to the synagogue. That's just the way it's going to be. There is, again, no such creature on this earth as a sound mind, able-bodied Christian who is following Jesus that does not faithfully attend church. That creature does not exist. And let me say this to you now. I'm not talking about people coming because they get an invitation to come. I'm talking about just this simple. If you really follow him, nobody is going to have to invite you to church. Nobody's going to have to put a guilt trip on you. Nobody's going to have to make you feel bad about not being there. If you're following him, you're just going to find you a church and go somewhere. I've said this before. I've never, ever, ever, ever had to have anybody, pastor or otherwise, invite me to go to church before I would go. That's a bunch of nonsense is what that is. If you love him and you following him, just get in line and come after him. because he was a church-going man, you're going to be a church-going person. Amen, Brother Keith. Get my sign out this morning. It's the truth. Talking about following Jesus. All these people, I'm following the Lord, I'm following the Lord, and they don't show up at church. I'm just telling you this morning, you can get mad at me all you want. If you are able-minded and able-bodied and you don't come, you ain't following Jesus. You may be saved, but you ain't following the Lord. Number three, you got to move on. Not only will you go soul winning, and not only will you go to the synagogue, but number three, I tell you where else you're going to go. You're going to go into service. You're going to go into service. You're going to serve other people. Jesus is going to take you there. I promise you, if you follow him. Look at it. We don't have time to read all the verses, but right here in beginning in verse 21 and going through verse 28, you read the story of when he's in this synagogue, there's a man there with an unclean spirit. He casts that devil out of that man. You get verses 29 to 31, he goes into the house of Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and Simon's wife's mother, his mother-in-law, lay sick of a fever. It says, and anon, they tell him of her, verse 30, and he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. He heals this woman who's sick. Verse 32, and at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all that the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Verses 40 through 45, we won't read them all. He heals a man of leprosy. You know what he's doing? He's serving. He's ministering to people. That's what he's doing. We're studying Mark in Sunday school, and I told you that the key verse in the Gospel of Mark is Mark 10:45, one that I've asked all of us to memorize. I want us to commit that to memory. It says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus said, I did not come down here for myself. I didn't come down here for people to minister to me. I came down here to minister to them. And the Gospels bear record to the fact that that's what he did his whole life on this earth down here. He ministered to others. When people had need, Jesus Christ got involved. He cast out devils. He healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He fed the hungry. He raised the dead, and on and on and on and on. And listen, we may not have those special powers and be able to raise people from the dead and all that, but I'm telling you, through our gifts, our enablements, and our resources, we can minister to people. Amen? We can minister. There's ways we can make a difference. There's ways we can invest in the lives of people that are hurting and have need. We can do that. And what I'm telling you is that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, a real, true follower of Jesus Christ, it's not a if, it's just a matter of you will serve other people. You will not be a recluse. You will not be some hermit. You're not going to be some selfish, self-absorbed individual who does not care about other people. If you follow him, you will be moved to compassion for the needs of others, just like Jesus Christ, and you're going to do what you can to make a difference in their lives. You will serve. It's not a matter. Again, no such creature on this planet. No such creature anywhere as somebody saved and following Jesus but never ministering to anybody. That doesn't exist. Let me give you one last, and I'm out of time. Soul winning, synagogue service. And I'll say last of all this morning that if you are a follower of him, you will go to the solitary place. The solitary place. What are you talking about? Well, look at verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, long time before it got daylight, he, Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. A solitary place. That's a place where you can be alone. A place where you can get some privacy and get away from all the hustle and the bustle and the noise and all the distractions and everything that's going on in and around you. A place where you can just get by yourself, not just for the purpose of being by yourself. I mean, that's okay if you can do that. But he didn't go out there just to be by himself. He went out there to be by himself so he could have some fellowship with his heavenly Father. He prayed, the Bible says. Jesus was a man of prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ, you see it. You just got to read the Gospels. He prayed before meals. He prayed before miracles. He prayed before making decisions. He just prayed all the time. He was a man of prayer. He taught his disciples to pray. He gave parables about prayer and how it's important that men pray always and not faint. Jesus believed in prayer. Let me ask you this. If he's the perfect Son of God and he saw the importance of prayer, don't you think it's important that we pray? The Lord Jesus Christ was a man of prayer. And he, when he could, would get to that solitary place. And he would get on his knees and he'd spend some time with his heavenly Father. And I'm telling you this morning that if you are a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, he's going to lead you to that solitary place. He understands the great importance of it. More so than we do, I believe. And he's going to lead you on a regular basis to that place of solitary confinement. You know, they have that in those prisons where you're just in this place by yourself. The Lord is going to pull you aside, lead you aside from all the distractions and all the stuff that's going on. And man, we need this. There is so much going on in life, and he's going to lead you away from all of that stuff to a place of solitude, a place where you can get in touch with your heavenly Father and spend some quality time with him. He's going to do that if you follow him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. There's more things we could look at, but I think maybe you get the understanding of what I'm trying to say. It's one thing to sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus," but it's altogether different to actually be a follower of Jesus. Have you decided, as a Christian, have you decided that you will follow the Lord? If you haven't, why don't you do that today during this invitation? Father, thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for this time. In your word, please bless it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Scott.